Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of Gresh Akiv is brought to you by Feldman Geospatial. They get it right from the ground up at FeldmanGeo.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
Do they just disagree on everything, or is there like one thing specifically that is holding everything up?
Well, I think they disagree on everything, number one. And even if they did agree, they probably would disagree that they agreed or agree they disagreed.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
And I can tell you unequivocally, we are going to play Major League Baseball this year.
Major League Baseball announces a lockout as players and owners fail to reach a new collective bargaining agreement.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen.
Andy Gresh.
Welcome James Paxton to Boston. Want to welcome Rich Hill and Jackie Bradley Jr. back to Boston.
Jackie back to the wall. He leaps and he made the catch.
Rich Keefe.
I seen a report the other day that said I'm a selfish player.
Yes! Not yes! Hell yes!
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
I'm a huge Gresh guy.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Very well done there by John Anderson.
On WEEI.
WEEI Sports Radio Network. 10:05 is the time. The best 10:05 to 2 p.m. show in the city, baby. We are all over it. And, Keefe, I got home last night, probably about 11:15. I go on the Twitter.
Yeah, what do you see?
And the first thing I see is Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh, my God. You can't get rid of this guy.
Keefe, what are we, in 2015 again?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny because I know I complained a lot about the defense last year, outfield defense, infield defense, you know, pitcher defense. Like, the defense was bad on the Red Sox, but that didn't mean bring back Jackie Bradley Jr. There had to be other ways to fix your defense than Jackie Bradley Jr. Like, this guy, he's kind of a polarizing player. There are definitely the ones around here that love him. They're like, oh, he's the greatest defensive center fielder I've ever seen. I'm like, I would argue he wasn't even the best defensive center fielder on his own team when Mookie Betts was here. But that's another thing for another time. You may not have been following the Milwaukee Brewers last year, Gresh. Do you know what Jackie Bradley Jr.'s batting average was in a full season for the Brewers?
I'm going to guess that he was just north of the Mendoza line. I'll go with a robust 215.
You were wrong. You went way too high. He hit 163. And according to Baseball Reference, his weight is 196 pounds. It's sort of an old school metric, Gresh, which you need to hit above your weight. And Jackie Bradley Jr. failed to do so. A buck 63. His OPS was 497. How he played 134 games and they weren't just like, we're done with you, is beyond me. And Milwaukee was pretty good last year. And yet this guy was, I bet most pitchers in the National League hit better than Jackie Bradley Jr. 163, he hit 6 Long Johnsons in 428 plate appearances.
Wow.
The guy's awful at the plate. He's a good defensive center fielder. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, you know, he's not a good defensive center fielder, but I just feel like there are a lot of them. And there was a time, Gresh, where in the American League, when you had Kevin Kiermaier and Kevin Pillar and all these guys, like, he was good, but he was like just as good as those guys, maybe even a little bit worse. $11 million too on his contract.
Oh my God.
I would not have brought Jackie Bradley Jr. back. Call me crazy.
Well, and you trade Hunter Renfro in doing so. And Hunter Renfro, again, we recognize that there's some defensive issues with him, but the guy could rake. And I think it's pretty funny that Heim Bloom tried to sell everyone last night on Jackie Bradley Jr. regaining his offensive ability? Here is what the CBO of the Red Sox said yesterday about Jackie Bradley Jr. at the dish.
Well, we're certainly optimistic. You know, this is home for Jackie, and, you know, we recognizing that it was a tough year for him. You know, I think we all know that the ability that he has is better than what he showed this year. I think coming back here, we'll be able to get him back to a lot of what he used to do. You know, defense has always been his calling card, but we know he's a better hitter than what he showed this past year. And we're optimistic we're going to be able to get him back to something resembling who he was here for so long.
Okay, now, Rich, well, I think you have the numbers up. Yeah. What exactly was Jackie Bradley Jr. as an offensive player in Boston? And I almost say that facetiously because I know, because whenever the guy left, we were, okay, great. You got rid of a very good defensive center fielder who couldn't hit at times little league pitching.
No, and he's a guy, you know, he strikes out every single game, but so does everybody in the majors, I guess, so that's not the biggest point of contention. But he had a lot of, even when he was here, just terrible, useless at bats. Like, he was sort of like, all right, you know what, he's so good defensively. It was almost like they treated him like Omar Vizquel, although Omar Vizquel could actually get on base a little bit, so that might not even be the best example. But I think it's important in center field, but it's almost like, do you want to carry a guy that's just good in the field? It's one thing if it's a catcher. It's another thing, and we saw that with Houston this year. Their catcher couldn't hit for crap, but he was such a good catcher that they liked him. And maybe shortstop. And then there was that wave of hitting shortstops, and now it's kind of gone back to maybe there aren't as many. But I don't know. Center field is sort of borderline if it's worth kind of carrying a guy, especially when you're in the AL East and you're going to be competing against the Yankees offense, the Blue Jays offense, even the Rays offense. You're going to need to score a lot of runs. And Hunter Renfro sucked in the playoffs. Like, there's no way around it. He sucked in the playoffs. But he hit 31 bombs in the regular season. He drove in 96 and had an OPS of 816. So, and again, I don't know how he was a Gold Glove finalist, but he was. He was a Gold Glove finalist in right field. I don't. Again, that was sort of a weird one. But I don't know. Like, he was such a better hitter that, I don't know. I don't like the trade. He's also arbitration eligible, so whatever he was going to get, even if he got a big bump from last year, where he only made $3.1 million.
Say he doubled it.
Great. It's still less, still half of what you're paying Jackie Bradley. So, yeah, I don't really get this one or like this one or anything.
Yeah, Keith, I didn't understand it in part because you have Kike Hernandez on the roster, and unless you're going to play him more in the infield, I thought Kike was the center fielder du jour. Now, Chaim Bloom was asked yesterday, and I am dying to get your thoughts on this. Chaim Bloom was asked if he could see a scenario of Kike and Jackie Bradley Jr. playing together in the same outfield.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not something we've had a lot of time to discuss, but there's no reason that couldn't happen. You know, both of them have played center and in the corner. Jackie obviously did some of that this past year with Milwaukee, and you know, it's a nice luxury to have.
Yeah, it's a nice luxury. I thought Kike was decent in center, not as good defensively as Jackie Bradley, but he's a much better hitter, and I don't think you want Kike at second base. So, and
Alex, put him in right, I guess. Now,
I guess, I mean, Alex Verdugo is going to play. Like, you need to have Alex Verdugo in your outfield, but I mean, you free up the spot with Renfro. You're not bringing back Schwarber, no matter what they say. He's not coming back.
You don't think so?
No. No way. He's going to cost too much money. They don't want to pay him. And I think that, you know, JD Martinez is just going to DH. You don't have to stick him in the outfield. So that's kind of what you're looking at right now. I guess you could play both of them. And then it also depends on, you know, where they at on Jaren Duran. Like, is he... We saw him a little bit last year. Is he ready for more of a full major league season or not? Because he'd be another guy pushing for playing time in the outfield.
Yeah, I wonder about Schwarber because, by the way, Schwarber did not sign before Major League Baseball has completely shut down. And we will get to that because Major League Baseball is already up to Major League Baseball things in engaging in this lockout, including wiping things from their own website relative to players. Yeah, I mean, wait till you hear this load of crap from Rob Manfred a little bit later on in his stupid statement. I don't completely close the door on Schwarber. However, we're going to kind of forget about it for a while because they're putting themselves on the shelf. And then we also find out yesterday that the Red Sox have gone back to the well to bring back Rich Hill, who gets a one-year deal. I do believe it's $5 million for Rich Hill. He is, well, let's put it this way.
I think
we need to create something on this show.
Go ahead.
You are 37. I am 47. Unless you are Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or someone like that, I am probably going to look skeptically if one of the teams in town signs a player that is in between our ages.
Yeah, that is.
And Rich Hill is 41. And he's apparently one of these guys
that's
who
sweet spot,
like, never dies. Right? He's just one of these dudes. It's like, okay, he's up, he's available. He can give you 7 innings, or he can give you the 2 innings that you want under Heim Bloom. And it's another arm to kind of throw on the pile, I guess, with James Paxton and Waka Waka Waka.
He is the ultimate tease, I feel like, Rich Hill, because there'll be games where he's capable of going out there just 7 shutout innings, and you're like, oh my God, look at this guy. He's still got it. And then he, like, tweaks his elbow. He's out for 5 starts. And then he comes back, and then it's 5 innings, 4 innings, 3 innings. I mean, you look at the starts that he's made over the course of, like, this guy is always hurt.
Yeah.
Always, always, always hurt. I think in his entire career, he has started more than 30 games twice, I think. And that's in 17 years. And obviously, he had been a reliever with some teams, but for the most part, he's been a starter. And he just misses so much time. But this is one of those quantity over quality type moves, right? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned James Paxton and whenever the hell he's going to be ready. And then Michael Waka, who stinks, but they think they can fix. And now Rich Hill, like, just throw a bunch of arms at it and see which ones kind of survive. So that's where that, like, you can't hate the Rich Hill move, but you also can't rely on Rich Hill. That's sort of the ultimate thing.
No, and it you know, I wrote this down last night. Is this the Heim Blooming of the Red Sox now, where you go out and you get defensive outfielders and you add a bunch of pitchers that, as I kind of half joking but are serious, can give you between 2 innings and 7 innings, depending on the feel or the want maybe of the manager? Like, there's a part of me that I just wonder, is Alex Cora sitting there going, yes, we got Waka and we got Rich Hill and I got Jackie Bradley Jr. coming back.
No chance.
Here we go, baby.
No chance. Now, he might like Bradley. Like, I don't know how Cora really feels about Bradley. He might be happy about that because he saw his team commit so many errors last year where he's probably like, all right, at least that solidifies that. We'll worry about what happens at the plate, I guess, later. But, no, I don't think he can love the pitchers. Now, the one good thing is, unlike some of those rotations in Tampa or like this past year, and part of it was due to injury, but these guys that we're talking about at least are fighting for the 4-5 spot, right? Because you still, like, and again, I don't know if Sale, Eovaldi, and Hauk are all going to be healthy, but those three guys and Pivetta at least are, in my mind, major league starters. And the other guys are, again, Paxton is a starter if he's healthy. Like, Waka, I don't know. But I also said the same thing about Pivetta. When Pivetta came in, I was like, what are you going to really get out of Nick Pivetta? And not that he was, you know, the world's greatest pitcher, but he was out there every fifth day, and he gave you chances to win. So if they can get that out of any of these guys that they just threw at it, maybe it won't be so bad. But just taking away Hunter Renfroe, 31 homers for a guy that stinks, hit 6 homers last year, that to me is more of a swing. Like, when you look at the playoff lineup, which we liked a lot, you're like, oh, wait a minute, like, look at all these guys. And, you know, you could quibble with whether or not Schwarber's a true leadoff hitter, but whatever. Like, he gets on base, and he and Kike going back and forth. That was a good playoff lineup. And now I think you remove Schwarber from it, but that's TBD. Then you take Renfroe out, who I know struggled in the playoffs, but again, you can't ignore the regular season that he had. And now you replace him with somebody like Jackie Bradley. It really weakens the lineup.
617-779-7937, your chance to jump in. We got a very busy Gresh and Keefe here today. You can watch us do the show, weei.com/watch or twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. We are split squad. I'm down here at Gillette for one more day. Twitter and Instagram, get us at Gresh Keefe, and you can text in. Keefe's all over the text at 37937. Let's go to John in Norton, who I don't think is very happy about this deal. John, your regression, Keith.
Yeah, hey guys. When I saw that news about Bradley coming back for Renfro, I was at a complete loss. I mean, they're giving up a tremendous amount of the offense. And the only thing I can think of, and I agree a little bit with Andy, that maybe the idea is to put Hernandez at second base because you can't count on Arroyo, and then re-sign Schwarber to play the outfield. And then your outfield is Verdugo, Schwarber, and Bradley, and Kiki at second base. That's the only possible scenario that makes sense to make up for the loss of the offense on Renfro and bringing back Bradley. So I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, John, I think it does make. Sorry, Gresh. I think it makes.
No, go ahead.
I think it makes signing Schwarber, which I don't think will happen, but it should make it more of a priority because you need more offense now.
Yes.
And so to his point, maybe you do put Kike at second, who I don't think is a great defensive second baseman. So you're running into that issue now. Because let's face it, if your infield is still Bogarts, who's I think fine at short. Defensively, I mean, I think he's fine. Maybe slightly above fine. Devers is not good, and Kike is probably more comfortable in center. So he's still dealing with some of the not great defense. So, but if they don't get Schwarber, then, like, you know, what's your 6, 7, 8, 9 look like in the lineup? Probably not very good.
I know that you and I are going to take a look at what the lineup could look like because with Bill Belichick in building a team, there is a reason for versatility. And in baseball, I understand some versatility, but this appears to be that there's too many pieces that can be moved around. And to your point, Rich, like who are the guys that are going to be, who are like the benchmarks? Who are the guys that you know? Again, if we go back to the whole, I know I could put Ortiz and Manny in the lineup, and I know going to get.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're looking at J.D. Martinez. You might have Schwarber. Bobby Dalbec had a nice year, but again, he's a youngster.
Yeah.
And then you're putting a ton of pressure on Devers and Xander. And I know we're going to get to this, but they now have to bring Schwarber back, in my opinion. Like, I don't think it's an option anymore, Rich.
It might be. Again, Hunter Renfro, and he was like, Heimblum was getting a lot of credit for him last year. I just remember even the games on Nesson, listening to Dave O'Brien and Eck and those guys talking about, oh my God, what a fine Renfro is, and this guy's still under their control, and like, he's going to be back, and blah, 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 blah. Well, he's gone. They trade him for a glove in the outfield. Second on the team in home runs was Renfro, and fourth in OPS. They only had four guys on the roster that had an OPS of over 800. It was Devers, Martinez, Bogarts, and Renfro.
Wow.
And now you swap that out for Jackie Bradley, who, again,
okay? If Jackie Bradley hit 225 in whatever season we get,
yeah.
If he hit 225, would you be happy with that? Given what he has done offensively, and even here, it feels like the Red Sox are trying to talk themselves into, well, we just bring him back here and he'll be fine.
He's a career 230 hitter. So, well, yeah, if he hits 225, of course I'll take that. But the other thing is, like, does he have any little pop? Like, he had 2 years with the Red Sox that he did go over 20 home runs. So, again, in the fact that most players now are of the three outcome variety. Now, the problem is he doesn't walk a ton. Like, he strikes out, and then you hope maybe he runs into some home runs. And then you're praying that he just takes runs away in the outfield, right? Because that's the big argument for Jackie Bradley is, well, the pitchers love him because he's out there making plays, and he's robbing doubles, and he's you know, pulling balls in from the bullpen. And you're like, all right. So hopefully he can do all that. Again, as he's getting a little bit older, like, I didn't watch him. I don't know in Milwaukee if they thought he was, like, the greatest defensive outfielder in the world this year. Maybe he still is, but he is getting a little bit older. He's never been able to hit. And so bringing him in, and it's not like you just added him, right? Like, you subtracted one of the pieces from your lineup from a year ago who was really good in order to get him.
Great point. Very, very good point. 617-779-7937. We'll mix you in talking some Red Sox. We're going to get to the lineup, the roster, what it could look like. By the way, Major League Baseball has decided to put their own game on the shelf. At 12:03 a.m. last night, the commissioner of Major League Baseball issued kind of a statement. It was almost like one of those letters that, like, when a player leaves a city, Keith, then they go to the local fish wrap, and it's, oh, I'll spend my, you know, $20 to be able to get a full-page ad to thank the fans and all that. That's what this kind of felt like from Rob Manfred. We will talk football 10:45 with Ian Rappaport.
The Celtics won a game last night.
I'm going to leave it at that until we get into that discussion
coming up a little bit later on. Andrew Raycroft talks hockey on a Bruins Thursday. He's in at 11:10. We got some football COVID issues mixed in with the Patriots as well. And again, to you on the phones at 617-779-7937. No Scheim today. Is it a do we have a car battery? We got a flat tire? Do we have a
No, I don't think that's it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's it.
All right, then. Well, Scheimy is out. Spaz is in. He is trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now, brought to you by the VA New England Healthcare System. Are you a veteran? VA New England Healthcare provides state-of-the-art healthcare benefits to those who served our country. Call 844-VA-CARES and learn more about the benefits you earned and deserve. Call 844-VA-CARES. Spaz.
Here's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. We have a lot, so brace yourself. Patriots safety. Kyle Duggar has tested positive for COVID. He may or may not play. We don't know. Depends on if he was vaccinated and if he tests positive negative two times within 24 hours or something like that. We'll keep you updated. J.C. Jackson is named AFC Defensive Player of the Month for November. Mac Jones is named Offensive Rookie of the Month for November. Major League Baseball is officially locked out. The Red Sox have bounced Hunter Renfro to Milwaukee for Jackie Bradley Jr. and two prospects. Milton's Dick Mountain is coming back to Massachusetts. The Sox signed pitcher Rich Hill, which is also a nickname for Greg Hill, Rich Hill, to a one-year deal. The Celtics beat the 76ers 88-87 last night at the Garden. The Seas take on the Jazz tomorrow night in Utah. Tip-off is at 9. The Bruins have the Raptors tonight. No, it's the Predators. That's why the diddler joke would work. Have the Raptors tonight. Puck drops at 8. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
God help us all. You talking Sox. And what is this lineup going to look like? I think Keith and I have only scratched the surface of it. All that is now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine.
All right, now let's get back to Magnum Dom.
And if you miss a show, download the podcast at WEEI.com.
Does having Jackie now
maybe open the door to Kike playing more second base? Or
it could. Alex and I talked briefly about that today as this was unfolding. I think that's an option. It doesn't have to be the only option. I think that's one of the beautiful things that Kike brings to our mix and brought last year. As you know, when we brought him in, we didn't envision him becoming our full-time center fielder. The fact that he was able to do that, it both helped our defense and it also allowed Christian Arroyo to emerge.
That is Chaim Bloom, CBO of the Red Sox, on the versatility of one Kike Hernandez. Red Sox are making moves, and now baseball has put themselves on the shelf. But it is interesting, Rich, that, you know, right now are the Red Sox, other than Schwarber, who I do think they are going to bring back, but are the Red Sox almost a finished product here as we head into the lockout?
See, they could be. Like, they have enough right now where they could trot out what they have on the roster, and it wouldn't be far off from last year, right? I mean, if you look at some guys are going to play a little bit more because some guys they didn't get to later in the season. Like, you look at, you know, the number of Chris Sale and Tanner Houck starts, and you would probably add whatever to, like, hopefully double it, you know, you'd put on there. Mm-hmm. I still think the bullpen and how they're going to use the bullpen and what everybody's role in the bullpen is going to be a question, but that's a question with a lot of teams in baseball. And so even if you think the lineup is weaker, and I think it certainly is weaker right now than it was how they ended the season, they can still put it out there. Like, they have starters at every spot, unlike maybe some other teams around baseball.
So right now, who's a starting second baseman? Is it Christian Arroyo? Is it Kike Hernandez? Or is it X?
I think it is one of those two guys. I think if it's your defensive lineup, it's Arroyo. And if it's your more offensive lineup, it's Kike.
Interesting.
That's how I would view it.
Yeah, I wonder about that second base spot. Because right now it looks like the outfield is Verdugo, JBJ, Kike. Do we put JD Martinez in as an outfielder?
No, I put him as a straight-up DH. Now, if they do bring back Schwarber, maybe you're like, all right, maybe these guys kind of jumble it around a little bit. Schwarber takes a turn at DH. You keep those guys fresh that way. But until he's back, I would say JD just is a DH. And I would even add Jaron Duran as a bit of a wild card to that. So if Kike plays second base, you could go Verdugo, Bradley, Jaron Duran, and have that be your outfield and see how long that lasts.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. There is at least as a spot available there for a guy like Duran. And then on the infield, you have, and I'll go, so Dahlbeck at first.
Yep.
Arroyo at second. Xander at short. Devers at third. You have Vasquez, Plawecki. Is Jonathan Arayuz a long-term fit?
No.
Do the Red Sox, once the lockout is over, do they have to go get Jose Iglesias, considering he was a big part of the final, like, 6 weeks of the Red Sox season but couldn't play in the playoffs?
He was. I think they would definitely be interested in bringing him back because he was a nice fit for them. I also wonder, like, is this finally the year for Jeter Downs? Like, Jeter Downs was such a top prospect and one of the big reasons or why you made the deal with the Dodgers with Mookie Betts was to get some. They had a really good farm system, and you got Jeter down. So maybe possibly him, or I don't know if we're another still a year away from him, but he's got to be in the mix at least.
I'm with you on that, and I wonder if the Devers and Xander Bogaerts contractual obligations or future contract discussions really tie into that, because it doesn't look like a long-term deal was going to get done or is going to get done with Rafael Devers. And then it's Sale, Eovaldi, Pivetta, Houck, Seabold, Hill, Waka, Paxton. Is that fifth spot really just, hey, whomever emerges?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would think whenever James Paxton is available, I don't know when that's going to be.
That's a good point.
He would have sort of the best shot at it. But I think based on all the injury histories with all those guys, you're better off going in with eight starters if you can. And I'm still curious on Garrett Whitlock, because part of me wants Garrett Whitlock just to be the closer for a full season, and then part of me says, well, do you have more value if you can put him into being a starter? And that's what he was originally. And so that still remains to be seen. Because, like, do you just say, hey, Matt Barnes, it didn't end very well for you, so, you know, you're not the closer? Or you were an all-star closer, so halfway through the season you were one of the best closers in baseball, and then the wheels fell off, so I wonder what his role is, because they gave him that new contract last year. So you're paying him, like, in between. You're paying him more than probably a setup man should, but a little bit less than, like, a lights-out closer. So I wonder how they use him.
I think it's. I think the job is open, quite honestly, least it should be. And I'm with you. There's the tease of Whitlock being a starter, but boy, he might be money in the back end of the bullpen. And then the bullpen right now is Barnes, the guys you can count on, right? Barnes, and that's iffy. But you understand the point.
No,
Barnes,
I get what you mean.
But like, Barnes, Salamora. Yep. Yeah, so it's Salamora, Brazier, Taylor, Darwinson, Hernandez, Whitlock, and, you know, like
Austin Rich, Davis is still there. He's not bad.
That's a good point. I think Rich Hill fits in somewhere.
He does. And I think until Paxton returns that first time through the rotation, it's just as good of a chance it's Rich Hill as it is Michael Wacha. Like, who knows how that's going to turn out. Now, the other part of it is, so James Paxton got Tommy John surgery, and he's probably not going to be available till what we're saying, I don't know, a few months into the season. What if the season doesn't start for a few months, and it might actually play out pretty well for that guy? He might actually play the full season, depending on when they actually start.
I think it's a great point, and it's one. And I wonder if that's in the back of Heim Bloom's mind, because don't you think that some executives and some owners are a little more plugged in as to how maybe this whole process is going to go? And it's hard for me to envision that the management of the Boston Red Sox would be kind of clueless as to how Major League Baseball is going to proceed in dealing with the players here.
Yeah, they might. I mean, I just feel like it's most of them have to be pretty pessimistic on anything getting done, and you're not going to have a season at least on time. So,
but to the point that you just made on the whole, well, if you bring in Paxton and say the season doesn't start until July 1st, right? And then who knows,
probably
that guy,
ready to go. Yeah.
He might be able to do the sale, right? Come in, be a bullpen guy, and then eventually kind of stretch it out a little bit. 617-779-7937. Ian Rappaport will join us inside 10 minutes from now. Rap Sheet from the NFL Network will give us all the NFL scoop and poop. Phil is in Maine with Gresham Keefe talking Red Sox. Hello, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I got to tell you, what the hell are we doing? Like, could we not get a hold of the Indians organization? Was not Willie Mays Hayes or Eddie Harris available? Or did we not have contact with the California Penal League?
Somebody.
To see if Ricky Vaughn might want to come.
Nope, bring Jackie Bradley back.
Go ahead. We bring back Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, you know, the only thing I can think of, the reason why they might be doing this, is because they looked at it and said, there's no way in hell we're playing next year anyway, so why don't we just bring this guy back and we'll just have him, like, throw bags of popcorn around or whatever. Maybe he's good at cornhole or something. Oh, my God, this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible from what we've had last year, and now we got to bring this doof back. I mean, oh, God, I'm throwing up in my mouth right now.
Gresh, people seem to be down on the move.
I agree. I think Phil, not a fan. No. Throwing up in his mouth and talking Nobody. At the same time.
I haven't. That is, I
what the hell
know,
are we doing?
From like the Twitter and like text and like the few calls we've taken so far to start the show, I haven't seen anybody spin it positive. Nobody's like, Jackie Bradley, which I'm actually kind of happy to hear. I didn't want the, he's the best defensive outfielder of all time. Because first of all, he's not. And so, but at least you could, that's what the pro Jackie Bradley people would be saying and all this other stuff. And be like, Keefe, you complained about defense and now you got this guy. It's like, yeah, but what cost? At what cost? And he was also so bad last year. Like, he was always a bad hitter. He had that one year where he was really streaky. Remember he had that long hitting streak? And he squeezed out an all-star appearance back in 2016 because he was good in the first half. But he is the ultimate, like, streaky player. And last year, though, it was just all just a down year. The entire year was bad.
617-779-7937. David is in the car with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, David.
Gresh and Keefe. I'm with that guy. I can taste his puke. I mean, this is disgusting. I mean, this is... We just gave up 20 some odd home runs.
30. How about 31?
This is insane. Yeah. Is it a down payment for a trade in the future? I have no idea.
David, thank you.
People don't like the trade, Gresh.
That's a great line. Is this a down payment for a trade in the future? It's like going in and buying a. It's like going to get something on layaway if they even have that anymore, right? You go in, oh, I want to buy this, and here are your monthly installments, well, and then eventually you get the big prize.
The best news is it's the final year of his deal. There is that. This is the last year of his deal. Unless they hurry up and sign him an extension, which I wouldn't rule out. This is he just signed a 2-year deal with Milwaukee, so this is it.
Has any of the rah-rah Red Sox folks on Twitter started to sell us on the prospects that apparently are coming back to the Red Sox in this deal as well? Because
besides Dan Roach, no.
I was just going to say, I saw Roach yesterday, actually. He walked into our production meeting. We were just like, baseball's over. You need to get out of here. And he was like, I got to find something to do.
He tweeted out because Red Sox player development tweeted out, welcome to the fam, David Hamilton and Alex Benelis. And Dan Roach tweeted, Alex Benelis, probably screwing that up, seems to be the reason why this deal was made by Chaim Bloom, hashtag Red Sox.
That's the tweet.
He's a corner infielder. Looks like he played at Louisville based on his photo that they tweeted out.
Oh, and apparently a caller wanted to know if the lockout means AAA is locked out as well. If baseball's locked out, it's locked out. So yeah.
We get a bunch of scabs showing up.
Ooh.
Scab league.
Scab league. Or they just go start their own. They should do a barnstorming tour of Home Run Derby.
That would be great.
It actually would be, quite honestly. Imagine if the players just organize
star players to do it. Yep.
That's right. You'd have to find places to go do it. But, you know, there's places like McCoy Stadium where you could put 10,000 people in there to watch guys hit yah-yah ding-dongs, as you would say. The latest in the NFL with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Next.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
Time for us to get all the skinny in the National Football League. 10:48 is the time, and he's with us each and every Thursday, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Rap Sheet is sponsored by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details, and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Rap Sheet, good morning. And we've got J.J. Taylor on the reserve COVID list. We're hearing that Kyle Duggar may be wrapped up in a COVID issue as well. Do we need to be worried that the Patriots are about to deal with a breakout here?
It's a little different than it was last year. I mean, we have had some teams had breakouts. I mean, I think the Cowboys are a pretty good example of that. But it is not like last year. I mean, there may be some other people who have been, you know, close to some of these guys who may have to test more. But, you know, obviously one major difference from this year compared to last year is if you are a high-risk close contact but you're vaccinated, what it means is you have to test 5 days in a row. It doesn't mean you are out. So it does mean some heightened awareness. And I would imagine everyone is being probably a little more careful, and maybe some people who are close to these guys are testing some more, but there haven't been a ton – especially when you have mostly vaccinated players, there have not been a ton of outright breakouts this year. I mean, the Cowboys having, you know, I think it's four coaches or something like that and a couple players on it is probably the closest we've come, but it's very different.
J.C. Jackson was just named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month, having a great season and a bunch of picks. Now, the Patriots could franchise him, or they could sign him to a long-term deal, or I guess they could just let him go. As of right now, what do you think is the most likely scenario?
You know, the Patriots generally, just based on their history, don't often let go good players. They figure out a way to either keep them or get something for them, right? So they've had, you know, very good players who they decided should not be around long-term. I think Chandler Jones is probably the one that comes to mind the most. And they ended up electing not to pay him and traded him for a second-round pick, right? So if the Patriots were not going to keep J.C. Jackson, I have a hard time imagining they say, you know what, just go to free agency. Probably more likely, I would say, is, you know, franchise tag him and have him play it out, or tag him and then try to trade him. You know, unless they believe a long-term contract is in the best interest of both sides, I guess theoretically possible, but my guess, just guess, based on what I think right now, is probably a franchise tag would be the most likely.
Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is with Gresh and Keefe here on the Harbor One Hotline. Ian, how do you think teams are going to approach kind of either, I don't know, getting out in front and either re-signing players or handling players this coming offseason? Because in 2023 is when the cap skyrockets. I know we've had teams right. like the Giants who are making tiny moves to get like $400,000 under the cap because everyone's so tight up against it. Are we still going to see another year of teams managing 2022 to load up for 23?
I don't think it's going to be quite like that. It's not going to be the massive jump, but I do think what you'll see is the revenue and the salary cap is probably going to match more like what it should be. Like, I don't think it'll be a spike, but I do think you'll get an increase. So this offseason should be probably more normal than last offseason and certainly more normal than the offseason before. Matthew, the Patriots, you know, they spent so much last offseason. It's, you know, comical. And I like the way they did it. Because what the Patriots really did was take a situation where the market was depressed, most teams weren't spending, most of the players they signed ended up on contracts that were probably a little bit lower than they would have been in free agency any other year, and signed a bunch of those guys. So it was probably a very efficient free agency. You know, that's sort of an oxymoron, but that's kind of what it was. I think this offseason for everyone will be a little more kind of back to the way it should be.
From talking to people around the league, are most of them surprised that the Patriots are this good this soon after Brady? Or is it the, well, of course, it's Bill Belichick?
I haven't gotten a lot of people that are surprised. I think for most people, this is the way it was supposed to play out. Because, you know, they basically took a gap year last year, as they say. Yep. You know, they got a little cap healthy. They kind of played out the string with Cam Newton, see what happens, okay, to make the playoffs. And then they, you know, reloaded to get the talent back where it should have been. And then the quarterback was the only question. You know, they tried a bunch of different things. They tried a bunch of different things and, you know, ended up signing, you know, Cam Newton. And, okay, we'll see what happens. And then, you know, Mac falls to them in the draft. And I think they were going to get a quarterback of the draft anyway. If it wasn't Mac, it maybe probably would have been Kyle Trask, would have been the other one. But, you know, I think the quarterback position was probably solidified a little quicker than most imagined, but the team around them, I think a lot of people saw that coming.
Ian, who has more stakes in this game this week or on Monday night between New England and Buffalo? Buffalo is trying to show that they're worthy of going back to an AFC title game. The Patriots are building something. Who is this game bigger for?
Buffalo, definitely Buffalo. To me, you know, the Patriots going into this year, my own kind of personal expectations or personal thoughts. And then when I talk to people around the league, a lot of people, because the Patriots, of course, are a big topic. So, you know, they would sort of think that I was on the right track. I think they would be a team that would push for a wild card. That's where the Patriots should be. Year one of a, you know, rookie quarterback who has been good, you know, all new players probably should push for a wild card. Anything else is just, you know, gravy, as they say. The Bills should not be in this position. They should be the team beating the Patriots. They should be the team winning the division. If the Patriots lose tonight, I think everyone would be like, okay, yeah, it was a great run. Like, got back in the mix. We'll see what happens. If the Bills lose tonight, it will be what's wrong with the Bills? Were they just pretenders? Like, that's what the conversation will be about. To me, at home, Bills got to win this game.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network joining us on the Harbor One Hotline each and every Thursday. Rap Sheet, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, look forward to it. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Rap.
They say a win is a win is a win, but does that really apply to last night's Celtics game? Keith and I will get into that, and we'll talk to Andrew Raycroft at 11:10. That's all next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back.
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.